Student Loan Show, episode 53. Last time on the Student Loan Show, we talked about getting a mortgage, even if you've got a ton of student loan debt. We broke down each of the five steps you need to take if you want to qualify for a mortgage, and I showed you exactly what to do to achieve your goals. On today's episode, we've got a question about handling a debt collector when you don't know if you owe the money. What do you ask for? How do you protect yourself? And what can you expect? We're talking about debt validation today, and it's coming up right now on the Student Loan Show. Hi, everybody. It's Jay Fleischman coming to you from the Financial Rights Nerve Center for another episode of the Student Loan Show. Today, I'm going to deal with a question I've been fielding a lot of lately, and that's the problem of getting information from debt collectors when they get in touch with you, specifically getting a debt collector to validate a debt. I want to tell you about my free 6-day email course that teaches you everything you need to know about winning the war against your student loans. Here's how it works. You text the word student loans to the number 44222, or you go to studentloanshow.com/course and you enter your name and email address. Then each day for 6 days, you get an email from me that explains a piece of the student loan puzzle. And by the end of the course, you're way ahead of the student loan game. The emails cover everything from understanding the differences between federal and private student loans, options for repaying your student loans, what happens when you fall behind and how to catch up, the right and wrong way to deal with debt collectors, how to settle your student loans, and a lot more. Like I said, it's absolutely free, and I'd love to get it to you because it's got a ton of great information you're just not going to find anywhere else. So text the word student loans, one word, to the number 44222, or go to studentloanshow.com/course and enter your name and email address. The question comes from Rita, one of our listeners, and here's what she's got to say. Dear Jay, I've had it up to here with these student loans and I can't seem to get rid of them. I had all my student loans with Sallie Mae when I left school in 2011 and I owed about $35,000. Sallie Mae sold the loans to a company called Navient, but they didn't give me any warning. Then one day I get this letter from Navient telling me to send the money. I never heard of these people before, so I didn't pay them anything. That was in 2014, I think. Now I'm getting letters and phone calls from a company called Performant, and they say I owe $45,000 with collection fees. I've been asking them since last June to show me proof that the debt is in my name and that it's valid, but they're not giving me anything. I called Navient, but they're not helpful, so I even submitted a complaint to the Consumer Financial Protection Board over it. Does the fact that they didn't send anything mean that I don't have to pay them back? Do they not have the promissory note? Can I get my loan back to Sallie Mae? And how deep does this scam go? And how can I sue them? Wow, right? Okay, so let's break this whole thing down. We've got a lot of questions from Rita, and this is a crazy situation, but it is not one that is unique. First of all, your student loans were serviced by Sallie Mae. They weren't owned by Sallie Mae, as near as I can tell. They were serviced by them. And a loan servicer is just a company that handles the billing and other services on a federal or private student loan. And your loan is assigned to a loan servicer by the U.S. Department of Education after your loan is first disbursed. That means as soon as the loan is paid out. You don't get a choice on who your loan servicer is. It's just randomly assigned by the U.S. Department of Education. Now, Navient and Sallie Mae used to be one company. It was called Sallie Mae. And then in 2014, the company split in half and became Navient and became Sallie Mae. Sallie Mae handles all of the banking, and they also do some lending of private student loans, but not federal loans. Navient handles all of the servicing. So if you're getting bills from Navient, they're the servicer, and they used to be the same company as Sallie Mae. Different name, different logo, but really just the same company, And that happened in 2014. So your loans weren't sold. It's just now the company who's handling the billing and collection is different. It's just a different servicer. And that can happen from time to time, even if your loan wasn't originally with Sallie Mae. Let's say it was from Fed Loan Servicing, and for one reason or another, it needed to get transferred. Well, it can get transferred. But all of your loan information would have been transferred from Sallie Mae over to Navient, and there wasn't any change in the terms of your loan. So the balance didn't change, the interest rate didn't change, the payment plan didn't change, nothing changed at all. Same loan, same terms, same everything. Different name of the company, but in many ways, the same exact company. When the company split in 2014 and the transfer happened, letters went out to all of the borrowers. Now, maybe you moved and you didn't get it, or maybe you got the letter, but you didn't read it, or you didn't open it, or maybe you didn't even fully understand it. It doesn't really matter. The transfer happened, it happened in 2014, and that's where your loan ended up. So you had student loans that you were supposed to keep paying. And when you didn't pay the loan, they went into default. For federal student loans, that happens at 270 days. And for private student loans, that happens whenever you miss a payment. So it's governed entirely by the promissory note. And once the loans go into default, you were sent to a collection agency, just like a credit card or a personal loan or a medical bill. If you don't pay the loan, they send it out to a collection agency, which is a separate company that is hired by the U.S. Department of Education to collect on the loan. For federal student loans, there are collection fees of up to 24.34% of the balance of the loan. So that money gets tacked on top of the balance that you owe. One thing that most borrowers don't realize, and it's a fairly new regulation, is that if you have a federal student loan that goes into default, if you set up a repayment arrangement, including rehabilitation, within the first 60 days of default, you can avoid all of those collection fees automatically. The government gives you the ability to rescue it from default if you do it quickly enough. So within the first 60 days, you can get those collection fees completely avoided because the government isn't going to send it out to a collection agency until day 61. In addition, the Department of Education will usually waive collection fees when you're paying the principal and interest in full, if it's in collections. So if you've got a loan that's gone into default and you don't rescue it within the first 60 days, even if it goes to a collection agency, if you've got the ability to pay that loan in full, the Department of Education will usually waive the collection fees. And that strategy can save you from paying a lot of money, 24.34% of the balance of the loan. And that money accrues once the account is turned over to the collection agency. So if you've got the ability to pay the interest and principal in one shot, that may be a great way to save some money. For private student loans, the collection fees vary based upon the terms of the promissory note. The promissory note controls everything when it comes to private student loans. But given the amounts that you threw, it sounds as if this would be a federal student loan because it was $35,000. Now it's about $45,000. That's about 25% of the $35,000 having been tacked on. So I'm going to guess that this is a federal student loan. If it's not, then you're going to have to deal with the promissory note itself in terms of the balance and how collections go. But let's presume it's a federal student loan just because, again, the numbers sound like they're pretty much on target. But let's talk about those collection fees. The collection fees are prospective, which means they're not tacked onto the loan the day that the collection agency gets the loan. The collection fees are based upon what the collection agency is actually going to get from you. So if the collection agency doesn't actually get anything from you, then there's no fee. For example, let's say the government does a tax refund offset through the Treasury Offset Program. Well, that money goes from the U.S. Treasury Department directly to the U.S. Department of Education. It bypasses the debt collector. So there isn't going to be that 24.34% collection fee. In addition, if you're going to rehabilitate that federal student loan out of default and back into active repayment, the debt collector is only going to get a percentage of the amount of money that you pay in rehab, because the rehab fees are going to go directly to the debt collector. So they get the rehab portion, they get a portion of the rehab money, and they also get a very small amount of money once the rehabilitation is completed. And that's somewhere just south of $2,000 in total. I think it's $1,740. So it's under $2,000. But again, far less than the 24.34% if you're going to rehab. But Rita's big problem here is getting copies of documents. She's looking for the promissory note. She's looking for transaction histories. She's looking for information to help her determine whether or not she owes this loan. If your loan is sent to a debt collector, you have something called a right of validation under the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, but it's very, very narrow. You have the right to validation of the debt if, when you get the debt collection letter, you send a notice within 30 days requesting verification of the debt. So verification is an interesting word. And what does it mean? Unfortunately, the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act doesn't have a rule on what constitutes debt validation. You'd think that the law would say what validation means, but it doesn't. At a minimum, proper debt validation should include an account balance along with an explanation of how the amount was derived. And there are court decisions that basically play to this and say that verification, which is the term that I use interchangeably with validation, but the legal term is verification. Verification of a debt involves nothing more than the debt collector confirming in writing that the amount being demanded is what the creditor is claiming is owed. That's it. So verification doesn't include the original promissory note, and it doesn't include a transaction history, and it doesn't include a copy of the original check, and it doesn't include. It doesn't include anything, really. It's just a letter from the collector that says, this is how much money the creditor claims that you owe. So there you have it. That's all we have. So you're not going to get it necessarily from the debt collector. I'm not saying that you're definitely not going to get it, but you're probably not going to get it. Why? Because the debt collector probably didn't get it. They got a computer download of information that didn't really tell them very much more than your name, your address, your social security number, your contact information, the amount of money that the creditor says that you owe, and who it is that you allegedly owe the money to. That's pretty much all you got. So that's what they're going to give you. So it doesn't include all of this stuff. But fear not, you've got some other things that you can do. You may be able to get a copy of your master promissory note. Now, the master promissory note is a legal document in which you promise to repay your loan and any accrued interest and any fees to the U.S. Department of Education. It explains the terms and conditions of your loan, and it is the legally binding document when you borrow the money. Now, here's the thing. You don't necessarily have a separate master promissory note for every loan that you take out. In fact, under federal regulations, you can sign a single master promissory note and borrow additional direct loans for up to 10 years. So you can sign the master promissory note today, and for the next 10 years, take out direct loans, which are federally guaranteed loans. Those are the federal student loans that are given out now for 10 years. If you want to view previously completed master promissory notes, direct plus loan request, direct plus loan endorser addenda, disclosure statements, anything like that, you can go to studentloans.gov and you can log in with your FSA username and password. So that's one way. Now, if you can't get the information, you can go to the U.S. Department of Education's Federal Student Loan Ombudsman. And the ombudsman exists to research problems and determine if borrowers have been treated fairly. There's a toll-free number of 877-557-2575. There's also a mailing address. That's all going to go into the show notes because I'm sure you're not going to write it down based upon listening to me now. So head on over to the show notes and you'll be able to get the mailing address. Also, the toll-free number is going to be there as well. The ombudsman is really, though, your last stop on the train. And there's one stop that you can make before the ombudsman and before even the debt collector that's really going to take you exactly where you want to be. And that's making a request under the Privacy Act of 1974. That Privacy Act is a companion to FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act. And the Privacy Act is what covers student loans. Student loans are not covered by Freedom of Information Act, but the Privacy Act is. It's the companion act that runs alongside FOIA. And the Privacy Act allows most individuals to get access to federal agency records about themselves. So you can get copies of your promissory notes. You can get copies of your loan transaction histories. You can get copies of everything with respect to your federal student loans. And most documents that you'd be looking for would be there for 15 years from the date that you pay the loan in full. So even after you pay it in full, those documents should still be there. So that's good. You can make a Privacy Act of 1974 request to the U.S. Department of Education. Now, you're going to have to pay money for the documents. This doesn't come free. So you're going to have to pay money, and they'll let you know how much it is, and you'll have to send them a check or give them a credit card number, what have you. But you're going to get the documents. You're going to get what you're looking for, your promissory notes, your servicer records, the whole nine yards. Your servicer is also required to maintain documents with respect to their servicing of your student loan. So you can go back to Navient and you can request the documents as well. As far as I'm concerned, I would tell you to make the request directly to the U.S. Department of Education under the Privacy Act of 1974 after you go over to studentloans.gov. Yes, make the request of Navient as well, but if this is information that you really definitely want, might as well ask for it from all possible sources. Go to studentloans.gov, make a request under the Privacy Act of 1974 to the U.S. Department of Education, and also ask your servicer in writing by certified mail return receipt requested. Make those document requests and you'll get them back. For new students and new borrowers and new graduates, and this isn't going to apply to Rita, but I thought that it was useful to bring this into the conversation. There are special record keeping requirements in the direct and field loan program. So the direct loan program, as well as the field loan program, have special record keeping requirements. A school is required to maintain copies of lots of documents for 3 years. So the school has to maintain a copy of paper or electronic loan certification or origination records, including the amount of the loan and the period of enrollment, the cost of attendance, estimated financial assistance, estimated family contribution used to calculate the loan amount, let's see, federal Pell Grant eligibility, the dates that the school dispersed the loans to the student. They've got to keep records relating to a student or parent borrower's eligibility and participation in the direct loan or field loan program for 3 years after the end of the award year in which the student last attended the school. So from the date that you finish up, 3 years, and a school must keep all other records relating to the school's participation in the direct loan or field loan program for at least 3 years after the award year in which the records are submitted to the U.S. Department of Education. Under the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, a school must provide a student with an opportunity to review his or her education records within 45 days of the receipt of a request from that student. A school is required to provide the student with copies of education records or make other arrangements to provide the student access to the records if a failure to do so would effectively prevent the student from obtaining access to the records. While the school may not charge a fee for retrieving the records, it may charge a reasonable fee for providing copies of the records, provided that the fee would not prevent access to the records. So for newer students and newer grads, you may be able to get the documents directly from your school, but it doesn't have to come from the debt collector. The debt collector doesn't need to give you what it is that you're looking for here. The U.S. Department of Education has the information. The loan servicer themselves has the information. Here, that would be Navient. And if all else fails, head on over to the ombudsman and get them to iron it out. So that's what we've got. And now that we've got all of the information, here's the breakdown of the answer to Rita's question. Rita stopped paying her loans and they went into default. The collector has a right to add the collection fees, the 24.34%. If Rita requested validation or verification within 30 days of being contacted by the debt collector, and she made that request in writing, then they have to give her some information, but it's fairly minor, and it's definitely not what she's asking for. If Rita wants documentation, then her best bet here is to do a Privacy Act request to the U.S. Department of Education. She's going to have to pay some money, but it's definitely going to be worth it because she's going to get everything in her file. Also, make a request to the servicer, that would be Navient, request a full copy of your loan documentation, and go on over to studentloans.gov, sign in with your FSA username and password, and get the information that they have in that system as well. Once Rita reviews the information, she's got a couple of options. She can pay the loan in full if she's got the financial wherewithal to do that. She may be able to rehabilitate that loan, make payments and bring it out of default and back into active repayment. Or she may be able to consolidate the loan, which involves getting a new loan from the U.S. Department of Education that pays off the old loan. And again, the terms of the loans overall are not going to change. The interest rate is a weighted interest rate among all of the loans consolidated. And with respect to anything else, loan remains the same. So that's what she can do once she reviews the information from the U.S. Department of Education pursuant to that Privacy Act request. My name is Jay Fleischman, and you've been listening to The Student Loan Show. If you need help with your student loans, please reach out to me by going to studentloanshow.com and clicking on the link at the top that says Work With Me. You can also ask a question for me to answer on an upcoming episode. You can find links to resources as well as notes for today's episode by going to studentloanshow.com/SLS053. You can also sign up for my free 6-part email course by texting the word student loans, one word, to the number 44222 or by going to studentloanshow.com/course. 6 free lessons to help you get your student loans under control and always 100% free. Come on back next week and we'll talk again. And until then, remember to always look both ways before crossing the street.